You're listening to the Co-Creator Network. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Why Shamanism Now, a practical path to authenticity with your host, Christina Pratt, director of the Last Mask Center for Shamanic Healing. She's talking about how shamanic skills can bring us to physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being, especially when nothing else can. Now, here's your host, Christina Pratt.
Welcome, everyone, to Why Shamanism Now. This is your host, Christina Pratt, and I'd like to begin here today by calling in the helping spirits to join us. So I call out first to our ancestors, all of us here that are gathering now or whenever to listen to this show. I call out to those who bring that which is good and true and beautiful into our lives, those who carry the legacy of those who lived hard and died well, those who met the challenges of life with a good heart and a clear mind and passion and found a way to live in a good way as a human with all other living things. And I call out to these ancestors to guide us so that we might learn from those who have gone before us. Life is too short for us to reinvent every single wheel in every single life. And so I call out for these ancestors to help us to learn from them, to use what they did well, to inspire us and to help us to go forward into new ways that bring healing and transformation and peace and inspiration to the world. So I give thanks to these ancestors for gathering around us here today, for listening to the living and helping us with those challenges that we face. So with the ancestors gathered all around us, I ask each one of us to go from our hearts to our bellies and our bellies down through our legs and feet and into the earth, and to reach down into the earth and give thanks to the earth for the wonder of her dreaming that brought life as we know it to the face of this planet. We give thanks for the beauty in that life and for the generous compassion in that dream that allows us to change that which needs to change, to heal that which must be healed, and to transform. As long as we are still able to take a breath, we are still able to make change happen. And that is a great generosity in this dreaming. And we give thanks to the earth for that. We give thanks for the miracle of life and the wonder of this day and the fact of the strange interconnectedness on so many levels of so many things. So we reach down to the earth with our gratitude and draw the energy of the earth up to bring up into our body the energy of rejuvenation and restoration, to draw up the energy of grounding and connection and belonging, the energy of home and place, caring, the hearth. We give thanks to the earth for connection and interconnection and the oneness of all things. And may we live in this day in a way that brings us at least a moment of feeling that place of oneness with everything, so that we come into right relationship with ourselves, right relationship with others, right relationship with the environment, and right relationship with the spirit world. So for this wisdom of manifestation, we give thanks to the earth. And let us take a nice deep breath and exhale and bring our energy up from our bellies into our hearts into our minds and out through our heads, through the sky, out through the atmosphere and all the way out into the cosmos, reaching out, out, out and up and all the way to the highest power of the universe. And by whatever name you call this power, I invite you to call it down into yourself, into your day, into our proceedings here and into life. And as we draw this energy down, we call in the energy of protection, the energy of blessing and generosity and benevolence. And we draw this energy down for inspiration and illumination and to help us in our job in life to innovate and to create change. And so we draw this energy down, bringing it into our head and our heart and our belly, where this energy of the sky dances with the energy of the earth, coming into an exact perfect blend to bring you into balance for this day. And with the energy of the earth and the sky swirling and blending and moving within us, let us call out and awaken the spirit of the heart. And we call out to the spirit of the heart to be its profoundly magical being that is the crucible, that is able to hold the fiery passions of the belly with the crystal clear, icy clarity of the mind and hold these two energies together in such a way that they inspire the birth of that third and oh so essential thing, your own unique genius, the reason that you are here, your soul's true purpose. And may you find in your heart the courage to bring your purpose out into the world in at least a small way today, or do some small thing today to bring forward your greater gifts. And so to the heart, to the earth, to the sky, and the ancestors that have gathered around us, we give thanks. And I give thanks to you all for listening. Thanks to co-creator and Ken for making it all work. I give thanks to all of those who support us. And I give special thanks this week to Duane and Sarah, Walter, Deb, and Chris, and to all of those who have donated to the show in the past week. If this show is meaningful to you in any way, which means it moves you in the heart, even if it moves you into irritation or frustration, you have been moved. And if you have been moved in the heart, I ask you to do this profound core act of all shamanism, which is to allow yourself to be moved in the heart and to allow the movement of the heart to move you into action. It is the heart that gives our life meaning, and the actions that will give us meaning in life are the actions that are motivated by the heart. And so if the show moves you in the heart and it moves you into action, I ask you please to consider donating to the show. We are happy and appreciate any amount, large or small. Do not be shy about small amounts, humble amounts. Many, many small offerings amount to having the show paid for, which is I would greatly appreciate. So please feel free, large or small, to go to whyshamanismnow.com and click on the support button and offer any amount you choose to. And if you're not able to offer financially to support the show, please consider doing something else that will help the show to grow. Sharing the ideas, bringing them into your journeys, sending me questions, sending me ideas for the show, giving the ideas life in your own journey circles or your own shamanic practice. Do whatever it is that can keep the show vital, alive, and useful for you all. So thank you, all of you, for all the many things that you're doing that help me to make the show available to you. And for those of you that don't know, the show does have its own website, whyshamanismnow.com, that has archives of the show all the way back to January of 2009, once a week for now 3.5 years. So there's lots of shows. I have many great show requests in the queue that I'm working on. But if you want to respond and have more of a dialogue about the show also has a Facebook page, which is still whyshamanismnow.com on Facebook. And that's where I tend more to there's a opportunity there to respond more to people with questions or ideas about the show. And, of course, you can email me at christina@lastmasscenter.org. I bring this up only because the comments on the website are turned off because of the vast and time-sucking quantity of spam that comes in on with the comments turned on. So with that said, I think we'll move on to the show here today. We are live this week, and you are invited to call in at 512-772-1938, or you can Skype in from the co-creatornetwork.com site. There's a little Skype button. You just click it. Or you are welcome to email me at christina@lastmasscenter.org, and I would be happy to read your question on the air. And if you are interested in the summer classes, which are all happening right now, you can find out about the classes and register at lastmasscenter.org. Mostly the information is in the calendar section, and you can usually register for the classes from the calendar. And just a reminder that year one of the four-year training that I offer begins in July here in Portland, and there are still space in the class for those of you who are interested, but registration will be the final registration will be closing soon, so please go to the website if you're interested and you can register there. Okay. So let's see, I think I've taken care of all the business here. So the show today is about nourishing destiny, and it's really a follow-up show or a continuation of a show that I offered in the spring about planting the seeds of your soul's purpose. And many people, emailed me at some point after that show and said, you know, it would be really great if you could follow that show up with something for the solstice. You know, what do we do now that our seeds are planted? How could we use the solstice? And I thought that was a great idea. And it was actually kind of what I was thinking of doing anyway, around the whole wheel of the year. And then I had a very interesting experience trying to get this, you know, sort of quote unquote solstice show ready. And I wasn't really going to talk about it very much, but I realized that it's actually a really good example of shamanism, of practicing, of truly practicing shamanism. So we all had this great idea, right, to follow up this show about the springtime and planting the seeds in an earth ritual, planting the seeds for your soul's true purpose in this lovely little earth ritual, which some of you did. And then, of course, the idea was, well, then what's the next step in that process of the growth of your these seeds of your soul's purpose with the summertime, with this, well, at least in the northern hemisphere, we're having summer solstice. You in the southern hemisphere are moving towards your winter solstice. So anyway, here in the northern hemisphere, we're moving towards summer solstice, which ironically in Oregon is sometimes, if we're really lucky, only the very beginning of summer, which is the oddness of Oregon and its weather as I sit here in a cloudy, cold, not very summer-like day. Anyway, back to the solstice and shamanism. So as I journeyed about the show, which had to do with how do we use the energy of the summer solstice to nurture these plants, quote unquote, or this growing energy around our soul's true purpose. And the basic issue ends up being this, that if we look at the body and the natural movement through the organ systems and the elements of the body, in the springtime, we talked about how spring is liver time and it brings all these issues up. And so the show was about how to take those issues and really use them to create a fertile and nourishing environment to plant the seeds of your true soul's purpose and to come into alignment with yourself in the spring and then to plant those seeds in an earth ritual. So now the summertime, we're coming up to the summer solstice, which is usually centers around a great big bonfire. And it's a beautiful, traditionally, a summer solstice ritual is a beautiful celebration of life, of fullness, of the, in European traditions or even Scandinavian traditions, it's the time of the god-goddess energy coming together in wholeness. And so it's about fullness and wholeness. And it's not yet about the harvest, right? It's just about big sun, daylight hours, stuff growing, the fertility and abundance and the wholeness of things. And it's all, and it usually centers around a great big bonfire, which is the center around which people simply celebrate life. You know, it's kind of a big party in a good sense of celebrating life, which is fine. And beautiful. And I encourage you all to have a great solstice ritual this summer or next summer if you're in the southern hemisphere. The challenge with this process that we started in the spring of sort of growing this energy of your soul's purpose is that elementally in the body, the next place that we go is to the heart. And the heart is also about fullness. However, and the heart element is fire. So you'd think it would be a perfect fit. But actually, in part because the heart is already elementally about fire, excess fire is really damaging to the heart. And so I was journeying to try to do this show for you all about how we use the summer solstice energy to nourish these plants, only to find out that a real excess of fire at this time is the last thing in the world these plants need. And if you think about it as summer crops, if we went into a great big sunny drought right now, we'd lose everything. And it's such a beautiful metaphor for Westerners and their lack of, and how their lack of understanding about true yin and true yang energies ends up defeating their best laid plans. And the essence of what I'm trying to say is this. We go into that excessive fire easily. And in some ways, that speaks to some of our finest qualities, our willingness to go out, to explore, to be courageous, to be ingenious, to forge ahead, and to move into really sometimes very excessive activity. And the challenge with that is if we go too far and we use all of our resources, which is what most Americans do every single day as an adult, is there's nothing left to bring back into the yin, to sink back into the yin energy at night and to nourish the yin so that there's this great pool of yet unrealized potential in the yin ready for the yang energy to rise out of, to fuel us through the day. In other words, if we go into excessive expression, we burn out. We extinguish the fire, in a sense. We burn all the fuel and we run out of air and we burn out. It's just like the crops getting too much sun, just dying. And so we burn out. There's nothing to take back to bring into the yin energy to cultivate this constant circle of energy. Instead, we have this linear idea and we burn out. And so in my journeys for today's show about what's next with these seeds we planted, which we hope now, 3 months later, are little plants, right? Plants. So the energy of our soul's purpose, we hope, is happening. It's starting to happen, but it's still young and unformed. And so the question became not how can we create a fire ritual, a solstice fire ritual for these plants to nourish these plants, because we, in a sense, can't. But more, how can we use the energy of this time to nourish these plants? And so my suggestion is, A, make your solstice plans with the people you most want to celebrate your life with and go have a kick-ass celebration. And just remember to not stay too long at the peak of the event for you, when things are most fully realized, in their fullest, most beautiful celebratory expression. Consider beginning to gather the energy and going home and drawing that energy into the yin to nourish you. So that's one thing. What I'm going to talk about for the rest of today is what do we do with our little plants that are growing that we planted in the earth ritual back in the springtime? How do we use this energy of this time? Because we want, you know, for our plants to grow, we need this sunshine, we need this fire, but we need it in balance and moderation, depending on the plant, depending on what is needed. And so I'm going to go forward with the show today, not with this goal of ending up at the end of the show, as I thought and many of you asked for, to link these two things together in some great fiery solstice ritual, but encourage you to go do that if that suits you, if that is part of your practice. And then for the rest of the day here today, to talk about what do we do now with our plants. So we need to remember that our soul's purpose lies deep in our body. It's not really something we need to go looking for. It's resident. It's deep within the root of our being, where we carry our piece of that original spark of life that sparked this experience of form into being out of this great nothingness. And that we can consider our soul's purpose to be like a bulb in the ground, because it feels initially deep within us and unseen, or the buds in the tree that are not yet emerging, and that the spark of our soul's purpose wants to rise up like the bulb, and it wants to blossom like the buds on the tree. Our soul's purpose wants to come out as an expression of our unique gifts in the world. So if it's not happening, we're stopping it, right? It is its nature, just like a bulb or the buds on the tree, or anything in nature. It's its nature to grow and to blossom. So if it isn't happening, if you're not living a life that is an expression of your soul's purpose, then there's some way or ways in which you've gotten in your way. And I say that with absolute compassion and humility, because that is exactly how I thought of the beginning of my time I thought of my whole life in the beginning of my time coming into shamanism is just the realization that it's all here. I don't need to go anywhere to look for it, but I sure as hell need to learn how to get out of my own way, to learn to see how am I in my own way. And once I've recognized that, how do I get out of my own way? And that is, well, in some ways, I think the great gift of the cycle teachings is you're not just learning shamanism, but you're learning how to get out of your own way. Okay, so back to our soul's purpose plan. So in the spring, we talked about that being the time of the dreamer waking up and how the energy of the liver in the spring, it brings in the energy of the dreamer manifester. So it is a really important time to be thinking about the seeds, the dream, the beginning, the essence of your soul's purpose. And now that it's summer, as I said, we're in the part of the cycle that is the cycle of the heart. And so we left off with having planted these seeds of your soul's purpose in the earth ritual so that those seeds could take root and blossom. And if we follow the movement of chi in the body, then the next organ system to go through its healing cycle is the heart. And in five element theory, the heart corresponds to the element of fire. And fire and the heart are associated with this summer season and the color red. So it seems to fit naturally that this would connect with a summer solstice, big old bonfire. But ironically, the heart really dislikes excess heat, as all organs do, actually. But due to its fiery nature, the heart is susceptible to that invasion. And harm can be done to the heart to be in excess fire. So we're not going to do that then. So how do we use the unique energy of the summer solstice to nourish the growth of the seeds we planted last spring? Okay. So that's our question for today. So I just finished the Awakening the Courageous Heart weekend at the Rowe Conference Center, just finished teaching that. And in that context, the context of 22 people simultaneously healing and awakening their hearts, I had an insight into purpose and meaning in life. And what I realized is, because I've been working with people around what is your soul's purpose and how do you go out and live it for almost 25 years now, exclusively. It's like been my entire focus, and not only my own, but other people. And people most often seek their soul's purpose as one would pursue a vision. And they want to become clear of the vision of their soul's purpose. And so it's a process of the mind, in the best sense of the mind, and it's about the air and all of these other visionary capacities. But what most people fail to see clearly, most people do fail actually to see their soul's purpose clearly, or they get caught up in delusions and fantasy. And I've watched this a lot with my students in their frustration with the four-year teaching that this failure to see clearly or getting caught up in delusion and fantasy almost always corresponds with the people who were weak in the personal work part of the training, which involves a lot of work around the heart. And so the meaning in life comes from living out the true purpose, and that really comes through the heart. And it comes through the quality of the relationships that we create. So our ability to, quote unquote, see our soul's purpose is not a visionary capacity. It's a heart capacity. In a sense, it's more felt than it is seen. So I have many, many stories to illustrate this from former students or current students, but those stories are not really mine to tell. And what I mean by this, though, is that a person can do something with great passion and commitment that is in and of itself truly meaningful, especially to others. However, if he or she does that thing from a place of duty, for example, the experience will lack meaning for the doer. And this same thing is true if the doer, the person doing it, is motivated by expectation, for example, or motivated by addiction, or motivated by ambition. And often people do profound things in the world that are aligned in some way with their soul's purpose, but their relationship with it is problematic. And so the thing, though meaningful for others, is not actually meaningful for the person doing it, because the heart is not satisfied, in a sense, in the doing. The heart isn't actually even involved in the doing. So the meaning we, the doer, derive from doing something has everything to do with the quality of the relationship we have with the doing of it. So it's not really about vision. This is really all about heart. So as I was preparing for today's show, I found this piece written by James Whittle at the Blue Ridge Acupuncture Clinic. And he said, meaning in our lives comes from a life lived in relationship to the heart. And so that's really the peace that we get here in the summer and the fire and the heart, that heart energy, with this effort to grow the energy of our soul's purpose, is to recognize we need to be in right relationship with these energies. We need to be doing this for the reasons of our heart. And that's the fire, that true relationship with the heart is the fire that grows these plants, the plants of your soul's purpose. So from an ancient Chinese medicine perspective, the heart is the master of the body and the emperor of the organ networks. In other words, the heart manages and controls everything. The structural heart is made of blood and flesh and is acknowledged. So in other words, the heart pumps, it circulates the blood. I mean, it's a big job. The heart has a physical job. It's a physical organ. It does a really important physical thing, several many important physical things. Then there's also the luminous heart, or the spirit of the heart. It's often called the Shen spirit, which generates qi and blood and thus is the root of life. So the luminous heart is the source of all of our bodily parts and functions, yet it does not manifest in obvious signs and colors. It's not physical. So there's an acknowledgement in Chinese medicine of both the physical heart and this luminous energetic heart. And so the more we try to define this luminous energetic heart, the more it escapes us. But when we stop trying to grasp it with our minds, it comes closer. And this is why the ancient Chinese called this the vacuous spirit or the void of the heart. It's, you know, Chinese characters are really tricky to interpret into English. There's no one standard interpretation still to this day. I find that fascinating. So anyway, we're trying to translate these ideas from the Chinese. And so the spirit of the heart is elusive in a sense, but it can also be translated in this idea of the void of the heart. Or another way of saying that would be this place of pure potential. Okay, so another way that the Chinese would speak of that, or the ancients would speak of that, is that this energy of this heart, this luminous spirit of the heart, is that which is peaceful, that which is compassionate, that which has meaning. All of these things arise spontaneously from that emptiness. From that emptiness that is at the same time full to the brim with consciousness, with energy, with potential, but it's not yet realized. So all things that are peaceful, all things that are compassionate, all things that have meaning arise spontaneously from this emptiness or from this spirit of the heart. So emptiness simply implies the freedom inherent in the heart, for it is a place beyond the mind and is serene and peaceful. And so the question on most American minds at this point would be, what if my heart is not serene and peaceful? What if my heart is not empty, but it is full of all of these stories from the past that bring me pain upon remembering them? All of the brokenheartedness, all of the places that my mother or my father or whomever didn't love me enough and taught me through their behavior that I wasn't worthy or wasn't lovable. All of these thoughts should be now beginning to stir and to rise as we talk about the heart. So for many Westerners, our hearts are simply not free. We have bound the heart in the web of fears that lace through our childhood. And many are simply too afraid to engage in the healing that will free the heart because we are culturally afraid to feel. And once again, I bow down to the 22 people who joined me over the weekend, who trusted the process and the spirits enough to feel what needed to be felt, to again free their hearts. It was absolutely miraculous for me to witness and hold space for. It was joyful in a paradoxical way, which is exactly what the Chinese were trying to describe about the heart. My heart felt peaceful, serene, and compassionate, and yet absolutely filled with joy to observe these 22 people moving together in a way that awakened their courageous heart and brought healing to their heart. It was unbelievable and so fascinating to feel my heart so filled to overflowing and yet peaceful and serene. It was an astounding experience that I am deeply grateful for. And once again, bow down and thank these people that joined me over last weekend. So, the heart then. So, further confounding our Western thinking about the heart is this quality of the heart, the shen, this elusive spirit of the heart that commands our body's every action and every part of our body. The physical heart and the luminous shen must therefore be looked upon from our perspective here about trying to find meaning. So the physical heart and the luminous shen must be looked upon as an interdependent pair. So to nourish and protect the heart then, we can nourish the heart's qi directly. And this means do not burden yourself with depressing thoughts. So what do you do if you've identified with being depressed? Do not get anxious about future events that may never happen. So what do you do if you're in the habit of working your nerves? Do not dwell on things that are well in the past. So what do you do with all those hours spent in therapy dwelling on the past that remains unresolved? So these very activities we spend so much of our contemporary life in are the very things that are not nourishing to the qi of the heart. And if the heart isn't nourished, the heart can't do its job, which is to run everything, absolutely everything. So it's a bit of a challenge, is it not? I think so. All right, so these things that overextend the heart dissipate the brightness of the shen spirit of the heart. So if we overextend our heart, we harm the qi of the heart. And so the art of nourishing the heart, which in turn nourishes everything else in the body, has been known from the time of the ancients. Do not will things. Do not strive in excess. Doesn't mean don't work hard. It just means don't strive for things. It's that thing that we do in America of reaching beyond our grasp constantly. Do not be inflexible. Do not be egotistical. Do not be self-righteous. Welcome to America in a presidential candidacy time. Do not expect things. Do not force things. In other words, do not behave like a typical American. So here we are, this country born on a dream that life could be better, that people could be free. Now, of course, there's great hypocrisy in the way that dream got acted out, but I think it was a failure of imagination, of people's inability to imagine how big that could really be. Nonetheless, all of the things that are not nourishing to the heart our typical status quo for an everyday American. So no wonder, A, we're falling apart physically, but B, we're so challenged knowing our soul's purpose. We stand so squarely in our way of what is naturally there and wants to blossom, wants to emerge, because we live in a way that is not nourishing of our heart. So we are challenged, but we must understand that the diseases of the structural heart are always caused by an imbalanced emotion, such as depression. These are the signs of an unbalanced heart. So that would be depression, anxiety, obsession, sadness. And these things open up a pathway through which noxious pathogens can enter into the heart. So our heart governs our ability to sleep soundly, to think clearly and to have good memory. And so we approach these challenges in our life, insomnia, lack of clear thinking, lack of memory, with pseudo puzzles and drugs, over-the-counter drugs, and more caffeine. And all of these things also further distract us from our heart. And yet it is our heart and our heart's need for peace and balance that would allow all of these things to come into right relationship with you and your soul's purpose. Truly, the more I journeyed and researched into things about today's show, because it didn't fit into this idea we all had, the more I came to understand why we are in the pain that we are in. And then at the same time, went off to Rowan and taught this great weekend about awakening the courageous heart and watched, 22 people, most of whom didn't know me, do it right there on the spot, 48 hours. Our heart knows what it needs to heal so deeply and profoundly. We just sit here in the way, being depressed, being this, not to diminish the suffering of that. But the things we do to get out of that suffering of insomnia, depression, anxiety, simply deepen the distress in the heart. Anyway, so I'm getting up on a soapbox. I'm getting off now and continuing with the show. So to pay attention to our hearts is to become aware of what creates peace within our being or what creates disorder in our being. We must become aware of what those truths are for ourselves. So the heart governs our ability to sleep soundly, to think clearly, to have good memory. A healthy heart plays a big role in our emotional health and our ability to have meaningful relationships. When the heart energy is weak and the blood is deficient, we may suffer from anxiety, insomnia, the inability to concentrate, forgetfulness, and in extreme cases, manic behavior. So, those of you that have been diagnosed with a chronic mental illness and are taking some sort of drug for that, maybe it's not about your brain at all. It's certainly not about your chemistry, since we have no proof for that anyway. It's about your heart. And your heart has a huge capacity to heal, but you have to be willing to feel. And that is the great American fear, feeling. At the same time, people, joy, the medicine for all things, joy is the emotion of the heart. Joy is the result of a life lived in accordance with the destiny of the innermost heart. And so that's the Ling spirit that I've talked about before on the show. The heart is the physical heart, but it is also this dynamic between the Shen, which is your outer expression of yourself in the world, and the Ling, your innermost heart. And so joy is the result of a life lived in accordance with the destiny of the innermost heart. So if we go back to the weekend and me standing there watching these 22 people holding space as they come into this really exquisite crescendo of this moment of heart healing, and I'm experiencing this joy, what am I experiencing? I'm experiencing the result of these life choices that have brought me to a place where I am standing in the destiny of my innermost heart. It's that simple. In that moment, it's not that I was just in the right place at the right time. I can feel that way, at a bar. It's that I was in my destiny. My heart, my innermost heart, was absolutely and fully manifest in my outer experience with no dissonance. And I'm not bragging. I mean, this experience shocked me. And it happened because these other people were willing to trust the process enough to do this work. So I'm standing in this moment experiencing my innermost heart aligned completely with my outer heart, my Shen, aligned with my physical reality, the physical heart, and the very actions, the collective actions that have brought me to that moment and time. And I experienced the profound joy and yet peace and serenity at the same time, not just ecstatic, crazy, dancing all night joy, right? Profound moment of this innermost heart and our actions and our words, everything aligned with the innermost heart. And this is what I'm trying and have been trying for years to talk about when I talk about living your soul's purpose. And Tom Pinkston talks about the heart memory and the path of the heart. This is what we're talking about. And those are the seeds we tried to plant in the spring, right? The seeds of this kind of energy that can bring you to this kind of place. And so in that moment, when joy is the result, we recognize joy as the result of a life lived in accordance with the destiny of the innermost heart. We're in this place now where Taoism has brought us right back around to shamanism once again. I mean, just go back to the show with Tom Pinkston, not the one about eldership, but the first interview with Tom Pinkston and his beautiful description of the Wucho people and their teachings about awakening the heart's memory that carries the heart path, which is our destiny to our soul's true purpose. And so this innermost heart is the Ling spirit, the private heart that only we relate to. And the Shen is the outer heart spirit through which we relate to the outer world. And when those energies are in good relationship with each other, when we're willing to feel what we must feel to have that happen, we create that the void of the heart, the emptiness of the heart that the Chinese were talking about, is that place of brimming with potential that is waiting in the heart to be manifest into the words and the actions of the day. Okay. So back to your seeds, which we hope are now plants, you know, little plantlets growing in your garden from your of your life, from your earth ritual. So what the heart needs to nourish the plants that you planted in the spring is the cultivation of peace with your past, the unattached acceptance of an unknown future, and the joyful engagement with now. The heart needs a full spectrum of emotional experiences, but all of that experienced in moderation. Because once again, too much fire can damage the heart. So we don't want to be excessive and manic, right? So first, I probably should say that over again. Okay, so what we need then is peace with the past, unattached acceptance of the unknown in the future, right? And a joyful engagement with the now. That's what your heart is looking for. So first, if we go back to our seeds, we must focus for the heart itself to be free of distraction. So this is the challenging thing, isn't it, in summer? The focus. Focus on your soul's purpose. Focus on these seeds. Focus on what it is that you're trying to do. But it's summertime, right? And so there's summer romances. There's trips to Burning Man. I mean, talk about excessive fire. That's like the essential definition of Burning Man is excessive fire. And trying to cram all of this much-needed rest from your year into your 2 weeks of vacation. So all of this is going on in the summer. Nonetheless, if you want these plants to not be scorched by this excessive fire, you must focus. What seeds did you plant, which are hopefully now little plants in your life? So little energies moving in your life. So what are the three things? These are then the three things that we can do in this summertime. And the Helping Spirit showed me it's this whole time. From now, from the summer to this to the fall equinox, this whole next 3 months, to use this time, especially right now, around the summer equinox, summer solstice, sorry, to nourish the energies of your soul's purpose. And there are three things to do. Water, got to water your plants, reflect, and spiral in. So I'm going to explain what these mean, because this is one of those annoying journeys where they give you three answers and you go, oh, great, that rings true. What does that mean? What does that mean in action? What does that mean that we actually do? And so all of these things are things to be done, I was told. They're all things to be done, not from the sense of the big blowout ritual, but more the sense of the power of ceremony, of small, simple things done daily, again and again and again, that build and grow in their strength through repetition. And through repeating, you know, repetition means doing the same thing over and over and over again. And so instead of having a big blowout ritual for this summer, which is what you're all going to run off and do at your solstice ritual, which is lovely, this is about ceremony. This watering and reflecting and spiraling in is about ceremony. So these are things to be done regularly, even maybe daily, that call on the power of ceremony and doing simple things again and again and again. So the first is to water. So to water the energies of your purpose is to call on the powers of the water as an element. So with the heat of the summer sun, we must bring in the water to keep the flow of the energy going, the energy of life, the energy of growth. And for human beings, this flow means healing, peacemaking, reconciliation, that kind of energy that allows things that tend to grow stagnant to move, and things that tend to get excessive and agitated to calm and keep moving. Okay, so in particular, relative to the energies of our soul's purpose, we are to focus this energy of this time on assisting us to release the old that no longer has purpose in our life, it no longer has meaning, and to be receptive to the new, which we hope and sense has meaning and purpose for us now. And so the flow then, so it's interesting because it's really this dynamic between moving stagnation, that's the old that needs to be released, and pulling things out of agitation. And so that's the new things that are coming in. New things that are coming in are kind of agitated energies until they get grounded. And that's the receiving. So we would want to get to a place with the watering of our energies where we're daily connecting in, focusing in on these energies we're wanting to create. And on one hand, we're letting go of all the things we notice that are present, that are stagnant now. They have no purpose or meaning. And we let them go without freaking out, right? We just let them go. And on the other hand, we're receiving. We're drawing in the energy of the new, even if we don't know what it is yet, but we feel the new coming in, we receive it and begin to ground it into awareness, into action, into understanding, and then we continue to let go. And so the watering is about creating the flow in our life of energy by releasing the old and receiving the new. Releasing the old life that has no meaning or purpose anymore and receiving the new and creating a flow that way that allows the resources of your life to let go of their old manifestations and shift over and be used in the new manifestations. And so that's the flow. That's the watering. Okay, so this daily practice then is to observe what your heart feels strained by, things that you're hanging on to that are past their time, and then to ask the water, the element of water, for help in releasing. And then it's also the daily practice to observe where your heart feels constrained or held back by your refusal to accept the new thing or your fear of accepting the new thing, and then to ask the water for help in reconciling your agitated state with this new thing that wants to come in. Okay? So that's the watering. So if you could do this in a way that you would come into balance, then it would allow the energy of the sun to energize you as you go into this daily water routine, to continuously letting go on one hand and receiving on the other. And that would be kind of an ideal state, to feel the sun beaming down on you, energizing you to go to the water and to let go and receive, let go and receive. Okay. Number two, reflection. So reflection is kind of interesting, I thought, personally. So reflection meant to reflect on what plants these seeds are turning into. Because when it comes to your soul's purpose, the seeds that you plant don't always grow into the plants that you expect. And so the spirits suggested that you look at the plants that are emerging and determine, are these plants blossoming plants? Or are they herbs? Are they food? Are they fruit trees? You know, what kind of plants are they? Are they great conifers? You know, what kind of plants are these seeds you planted growing into? Because that will affect how you respond to them. So, for example, are they blossoming plants? These are plants that will bring immediate change in your life and require instant adjustments on your part. So if you've got a crop of blossoms going on here, you better get at it, right? And you must stay agile and aware. You must be releasing and receiving and not hanging on to old things, not fearing and freaking out about new things, and move at the pace of the blossoming. So the energy itself would be demanding that you step up to its pace of blossoming, right? And then you must be prepared as the blossoms go to gather the seeds that the blossoms will drop. And so you must be prepared then to change on the dime and to gather, because these seeds then will need to be planted for the next crop, which may grow into something entirely different. And so some of the aspects of our soul's purpose are things that manifest quickly, but may ultimately simply be a step on the way, which would be a blossoming plant. The other idea is, what if they are herbs? And so if they're herbs, they would call out for and support your direct healing. So maybe this seed that you planted is about some healing that needs to happen for you to be able to really move into your soul's purpose. And it can be healing, but it could also be simply your efforts to raise your life to a higher state of health and well-being. So you must then consider, what, relative to these energies you've planted, how do you harvest them? How do you nourish them? How do you harvest them to make them into medicine? And how would you take their medicine? You know, how are they used? How is this energy in your life to be used to help you to raise to a higher state of health? So, for example, many, many years ago, I started in a practice, a new practice with a new teacher of Qigong, that it was a good example of an herb, a plant that I needed to understand. How was I to harvest that plant to prepare it into medicine and to take that in my life? The way I did it was different from anyone else in the whole class. And so that plant was an herb. It was critical in my ability to move on in the effort to manifest my soul's purpose. So another possibility is, the seeds you planted back in the spring have grown into a plant that's more of a food. It's a food plant of some kind. And then these plants of your destiny offer your soul nourishment. Now, the issue is, you must cultivate them well and protect them from invasive energies like bugs and slugs in your garden, or from the extreme weather of your own emotional energies, right? And they're not ready yet. And so your efforts over the next 3 months is, how do you draw in the energy of this time to cultivate and protect these foods, you know, these food plants, from yourself, from your own emotional extremes, from environmental invasion, right? How do you keep them growing until you can harvest them and then they can sustain you? So it's important to know, because those energies, be they the ultimate manifestation of your soul's purpose, are vulnerable to this time. And that would look like your own distraction, too many people getting involved and dispersing the energy, your own emotional ups and downs that would tend to have you doubt them, to give up, to get neurotic and excessive about it, to strangle the life out of it by being too controlling. All of these things that we do emotionally could kill your food crop, right? And then the last example that the spirits offered was the possibility that they are fruit trees. And every time I figured this out in my life, my response to that has been, oh, crap. Because, of course, a fruit tree doesn't bear any fruit for years, right? And you may have planted seeds in the springtime that you thought were going to bring you into your soul's purpose and your next way of maybe making money in your life. And if that's the case, it isn't going to happen. It's not going to bear fruit for years. So in the meantime, while you nourish this crop of exquisite fruit trees, you're going to need to get another job or stay with the current job that you have. But my point is, from a sense of practicality, if the seeds of your soul's purpose are fruit trees, you've got some years to cultivate and nourish this crop before it bears fruit. You're in a long-term relationship with these energies of your destiny. They will not bear fruit immediately. And you need to know that to curb your frustration, your impatience, and your doubt, and to allow you to ask the right questions. If you accept that they're fruit trees, then you can ask the right questions. Otherwise, you're constantly going to be asking some version of, why hasn't this happened yet? Which is the wrong question. So then the other questions are, you know, what does it mean to prune this energy? What does it mean to fertilize it? What does it mean to protect these energies from invasions of funguses and things like that? So what needs to happen over time so that these trees will bear many, many sweet fruits in your future? So as you can see, what you would do if the energies you planted in the spring were blossoming energies are very different than what you would do if they're fruit trees. And so this instruction from Spirit to use the brilliant energy of the summer sun to reflect on what your plants are turning into, what is their true nature, and how do you serve that, is kind of step two to be doing right now. And step three was the spiraling in step. And so this final step is we're guided to by Spirit to spiral in as a way to gather the energy of this summer solstice time. And these would be practices, daily practices, that would allow you to draw the energy in and to nourish the dynamic between the Ling spirit, remember that deep spirit of the heart, and the Shen. And to make sure there isn't a great gap, that we are not speaking to the Ling, so it's not really directing the Shen. And as I said from that example of the weekend workshop, when you are in relationship with the Ling spirit, your true heart spirit, then the Shen is simply the outer manifestation of that. And these two are aligned. They're simply the yin and yang of each other. Right. And so the spiraling in was making sure that the inner and the outer are communicating and are reflections of each other. So it's also important that there isn't a gap between your outer actions in the world and your heart's true desires. The most common example of that in my practice is the person that says, I want to be an XYZ kind of relationship. And that's truly aligned with their heart's desires, and we can work on what that relationship looks like, what their heart really wants, and they keep going back to that same old relationship. They keep going back to that relationship they know they shouldn't be in. They keep going back after Spirit has even instructed them, do not be involved with that person. They keep going back. And so their actions are not remotely aligned with the heart. But we do this at work as well. We do this with our children. We do this all the time. And so the spiraling in is about spiraling into that innermost place and make sure that your inner heart is balanced with the outer, that your inner inspiration is balanced by your words and actions out in the world, and that there is no real gap between this path of your heart, your heart's memory, and the life that you are unfolding through your actions. And this reminds me of something my teacher said a long time ago that I've kept available here on to see, which is to shorten the distance between the truth you tell yourself and the life you are living. And so the answer to the question of what we are to do with this energy of the summer solstice is that we are to do practices, simple daily ceremonies to nourish and bring forth the fruitfulness of the energies of your soul's purpose that you planted back in the spring. And you are to do that through watering them, through reflection on what they are and responding to that, discovering what they are and responding to that, and ultimately through spiraling in. Beginning to take action in your life to bring your words, your actions, and your life into balance and harmony with your true inner heart's memory of why you are here. So I give thanks to the ancestors that bring us this wisdom of the heart, the ancestors who have gathered round, and to those ancestors that will support us in the courage that it takes to bring our life into alignment with our heart. We give thanks to the earth below, and the sky above, and the heart we bring to each day that unites us all. So next week, our guest will be Dr. Seth Farber. He is a writer, social critic, dissident, psychologist, visionary, and activist. He joins us next week to discuss his new book, The Spiritual Gift of Madness, The Failure of Psychiatry and the Rise of Mad Pride. And this book is available now from Inner Traditions. So I hope you'll all join me next week. Thank you all. Have a great week.